The Landing, a senior living community now open to the public, offering assisted living as well as memory care for its residents. If you're taking care of loved ones who need more attention and professional help, contact The Landing or go to landingsl.com for more information. From the Midas and Roseburg studio, KQEN weather, partly sunny this afternoon, slight chance of showers, high about 63, cloudy tonight, 43 the low. On Saturday, mostly cloudy through mid-morning, then gradual clearing, high about 65. On Sunday, sunny, 73, and by Monday, sunny and 74 degrees, 56 now and sunny. KQEN News Time, 12:35.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Another candidate interview today, Congressman Peter DeFazio joining us from Springfield just days before the deadline for voting. Congressman, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Yeah, anybody who hasn't voted yet needs to know they're going to have to drop their ballot off. The mail won't get it there in time.
So with just a few days left in the race, how do you feel like it's going for you right now?
Well, this has become the most expensive congressional race, House race, in the history of the state of Oregon because of the phenomenal amount of money that's been dumped on Mr. Scarlatos. We're in the game, but don't have as much money as he has. And then there's some outside groups in Kevin McCarthy, Republican leader, and some other groups. So it's the whole race is probably going to total well over $10 million, which is just obscene.
And that is a very high number for Oregon, and it's very different than races you've had for a number of years.
Well, 2010 was pretty expensive. I think that one ran to $5 million because Art Robinson had Robert Mercer, the hedge fund billionaire speculator from Wall Street, spent $1 million of his own money attacking me. And Art raised a couple of million, and I think I raised a couple of million. So I think that one was about five. But since then, no.
Backing up to March, did you think back then that the race would get this intense?
Yes. I've been targeted since January 19. They cleared the field. They enticed Art out of the race, even though he told Scarlatos he wouldn't get out by clearing the field for him to take a state Senate seat from Josephine County. Woe betide our state Senate with Art Robinson. And then they had the utterly crazy QAnon woman in the race, and they got her with a little bit of money to run against Merkley instead. They wanted to clear the field for Scarlatos. They were worried he couldn't even beat Art Robinson or the QAnon woman, whose name escapes me at the moment.
So this is one of the most talked about races in the Northwest. It's generated a lot of attention. Why do you think it was targeted by the GOP as a seat that they wanted to claim?
Because this is a swing seat. Hillary Clinton only won by 552 votes. I won by many thousands of votes, but that was against Art Robinson, who at that point had been defined as a couple of degrees off kilter. And, this guy is a profile they're recruiting nationally, someone with no experience in public office, no experience in any sort of board or commission, no real work experience. He worked for a short time at Costco. Otherwise, he describes himself as actor, investor. He apparently invests for a living. I haven't seen much acting since he did Dancing with the Stars and the Eastwood movie. So it's nice at 27, if you can live in a 4,400 square foot brick house overlooking the North Umpqua, mortgage free, invest for a living. And he says, I'm the one who's out of touch. I live in the same house in Springfield I've lived in for over 30 years. I didn't move my family to D.C. Don't live on a yacht. I live on a boat. That would fit in one of his bedrooms in his 4,400 square foot mansion where he lives alone.
What are the key issues for you if you're reelected? Go into detail about some of the things you would like to accomplish and see move forward the next term.
Well, I hope we get a COVID relief package. Oregonians and Americans need more help until we climb out of this mess. In the last package, which I supported, small business employees, 108,000 small business employees in my district got their paychecks. And everybody in the district who earned less than $85,000 last year got an individual check. And then we extended unemployment for federal extended unemployment beyond Oregon's till December 31st. Most of that has run out now. We've passed two more packages in the House. The Senate hasn't agreed to either one. There's still negotiations going on, hopefully shortly after the election. Mitch McConnell will give in and let the Senate vote on a bill, and we'll get more relief to people. But then after that, I'm going to pass my Water Resources Development Act, which will provide dredging for our coastal harbors and rebuilding the North Jetty at Coos Bay, dealing with the boat basin at Gold Beach. All those things are going to be funded out of the bill I passed unanimously out of the House in a partisan atmosphere. And we have now negotiated with the Senate, believe it or not. And it will be passed in a lame duck. And then next year, with Joe Biden as president, we're going to end the fake infrastructure weeks. With Trump, we've had 7 fake infrastructure weeks. It's a joke, a running joke in D.C. that they have infrastructure weeks and nothing happens. Joe Biden has told me he wants to do my infrastructure bill as a recovery package in February. No more messing around. Put millions of people to work, not just construction. But there'll be a lot of construction jobs, design, engineering, small business, manufacturing, you name it, the multiplier effect. I mean, right there in Douglas County, you've got, I think the county told me when I was out looking at the Oakland Bridge, which I helped get federal money for, they've got another big project, another bigger bridge like that. They need repair and a whole bunch of small ones. I'm going to get them the money they need to do that, which will put people to work locally, get the harbors dredged. That's going to put people to work, commercial fishing and recreation on the coast. I focus a lot on trying to help people earn a good living. And, oh, by the way, I do support a minimum wage. And Mr. Scarlatos, living up there on top of the hill, investor, actor, says he does not support the government setting a minimum wage. He tried to backpedal and say, whoa, wait a minute, I didn't mean Oregon. Well, it's Oregon's government that set that minimum wage. And that's pretty darn out of touch. 110,000 people in my district work for minimum wage, and he thinks they earn too much.
Talk about federal forest management, what you think should be done moving forward in that area.
We are making progress. Remember, a few years ago, Greg Walden, Kurt Schrader, and I passed a bill that would have responsibly targeted about 500 million board feet a year on BLM. That's more than twice what they're doing now. But it was killed by the Senate. Now the industry has won litigation, and the BLM is being required to rewrite their plan. They won the litigation based on 1 billion board feet a year, which we don't have the mill capacity for, and B, would, I think, be over-harvesting. But if we end up with something in the target range of the bill we passed previously, there will be more timber coming out. We need to invest more in fuels management. I voted 4 years ago bipartisan legislation, the Healthy Forest Restoration Act, to do more fuels management in the forest, get in there and bring them back to health. The Bush administration didn't fund it. The Obama administration hasn't hardly funded it. And the Trump administration has tried to cut it. We need a president who recognizes the need with these record wildfires to do fuel management responsibly on the forest. That'll create jobs. And then we have a new industry, the cross-laminated timber industry. And we've got a mill right down there in my district. That's an incredible future for timber. It can use very small logs. It's very strong. It's basically as fire resistant as concrete, and you can build 15-story buildings with it. So I think there's a looming new future for the timber industry in Oregon with cross-laminated timber.
What about the impact of how the federal forests have been managed when you look at the Archie Creek fire and the other fires that raged in a few weeks ago?
Well, I'm most familiar with the Holiday Farm fire, which had me evacuated from my house for a while up the McKenzie. I have come down to Archie Creek, and I've been up to the other complex on the Santa Ana and down to Phoenix and Talent when I brought the Federal Emergency Management Agency administrator out there under my jurisdiction to get them moving on getting people into housing and the recovery process. But on the Holiday Farm fire, more than 60% of the land that burned was heavily managed industrial forest lands. It didn't care. It blew through those lands. It actually burned the McKenzie River corridor, which was an old growth corridor. Many people have been up it. It looks a lot like the Umpqua if you haven't been up the McKenzie, or it looks a lot like. And the forest scientists say they do not think ever in history or prehistory has there been a stand replacement fire on the McKenzie because it's too cool, too damp. So this is not a normal fire. The winds blew over hurricane force out of the northeast. We don't get hurricane force winds out of the northeast. The humidity was 6%, and the forests were record dry. And if anybody wants to say that this fire season doesn't reflect climate change like my opponent, they're dead wrong.
Congressman Peter DeFazio, we're going to take a break. Back in a couple of minutes on Inside Douglas County, the interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1247 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249 at News Radio, 1240 KQEN, and Lars Larson coming up this afternoon at 1 o'clock. Later, CBS Audio, America Changed Forever, a pre-election look at the presidential election. That's ahead at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Congressman Peter DeFazio with us from Springfield. With the structure of Congress, talk about the impact you think you can have if you're given another term, given the seniority you have after your time back in D.C.?
Well, Kyle, the House of Representatives is winner take all. We don't have filibusters and stupid things like in the Senate. The majority party gets to set the agenda. The majority party chairs every committee. I work across the aisle. I did my water resources development bill in my committee, and I got unanimous Republican support out of committee and on the floor, and that's going to be a big help to coastal Oregon. I also moved a bill to fix the post office because even though I'm not on that committee, I'm a leader in the House. I'm senior, and I chair a major committee. They allowed me to bring a bill to the floor to end the stupid 75-year pre-funding mandate of health care, $6 billion a year. Before COVID, the post office was making money, except for having to put away $6 billion a year for people who 75 years from now might retire from the post office. That's ridiculous. It was put in by the Bush administration to try and push privatization. You know who's going to be the big loser if they privatize the post office? Small cities, rural towns, and rural areas in America. FedEx and UPS will be happy to deliver your mail for $20 a letter. So I moved that bill. I got 88 Republicans on that. And then just before Congress adjourned, I passed a bill to take away the antitrust immunity of the health insurance industry, save the consumers billions, according to Consumer Reports. And that was a unanimous vote in the House, a unanimous vote. So I can get things done outside my committee, but on my committee, I'm going to move a bill to rebuild America's crumbling infrastructure, which is going to create millions of jobs, and Biden wants to move that bill in February.
And talk about that. You've obviously long had an interest in the area of infrastructure, and whether it's Douglas County, the state, or other parts of the nation, so much of our infrastructure here is 50, 60 years old and ending, reaching the end of its useful life and needs to be updated. And it seems like there's a lot of that that's an issue right now.
Yeah, I've got a provision. I get to write the bill. I'm the chairman of the committee. I mean, I work with my committee members, but I can put in things that I want. I put in a new section for rural off-national highway system bridges to help counties like Douglas County. I've got additional funds that go to counties which have large federal land ownership. That would be Douglas. Well, that would be my whole district, actually. So I'm very sensitive to the needs of Oregon and my communities, and I can do those things because I'm chairman. Now my opponent says, "Oh, he's been a DC 50 years." Well, his math isn't too good. I was elected in 1986, it took me 32 years. Half that time was in the minority to become chairman of this major committee and get to actually write the bills and sit at the table and set the agenda. It doesn't happen quick back there. I'm using that clout to our benefit, and I will use it in the next Congress to the benefit of Oregon and the country if I'm reelected.
What do you feel like the impact of the COVID-19 has been on the federal budget? A lot of people are concerned about how much the deficit has come up with the different stimulus packages and the different ways that funds have needed to be allocated to deal with the situation.
Well, the president's appointed head of the Federal Reserve says if we don't do another COVID relief package by the end of December, when the extended federal unemployment expires and get other assistance out to people, we're going to be in a depression in January. The federal government can still borrow money at 2.2%. I think it's worth doing another COVID relief package. In terms of my infrastructure bill, we could pay for that. I'm suggesting we bond it. We pay interest only on those bonds we still have money come in with the gas and diesel tax and truck tax and federal big tire tax and stuff like that. But there's a big hole in the trust fund, and I want to increase investment. So I'm suggesting we borrow that extra money. We index the gas and diesel tax, cap the increase at 1.5 cents a gallon a year. Hey, come on. We can, 1.5 cents a gallon a year to get those bridges fixed in Douglas County, to put millions of people to work. I think that's something the American people would be willing to go for, and even the people in Douglas County. And then at the end of those 5 years, we would have paid interest only. We would begin to defray the principal by moving to vehicle miles traveled as we get more and more penetration of electric cars, small trucks, and tell you what, electric 80,000-pound semis are coming, they got to pay their fair share. In 5 years, we would begin to pay down the principal. So I'm not recommending unfunded debt for my portions of this bill. Let me tell you a great thing. When we get to electric 80,000-pound trucks, those passing lanes we had to build, and the passes going south out of Grants, out of Roseburg down to Grants Pass, down to Ashland, an electric truck can go uphill as fast as the speed limit. Then it regenerates, and it's batteries on the downhill. We're not going to have to build any more of those passing lanes when we move to these trucks, but we have to build a charging network for them. Truck stop operators are thrilled at that prospect. Rural electric co-ops are thrilled. They're saying, hey, those federal highways run through a lot of areas where we don't have many customers. We'll be happy to provide the service.
About 30 seconds left for any voters listening who have not yet decided where to vote on this race. Give them your final pitch as to why you want them to vote for you.
Well, I'm not going to go on Fox and say one thing and then run ads on MSNBC and say another, which my opponent is doing on minimum wage, and he's doing on health care and other issues. I'm going to tell you where I stand, why I stand there. I'm not going to BS you. Never have, never will. Working hard, and I want your vote, and I want to continue working hard for you.
Congressman Peter DeFazio, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thanks, Kyle.
12:57 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.